Welcome in. You just found the most entertaining Iowa football podcast on the market. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Today, a few current events. We're going to talk college football playoff. How in the world did Florida State get left out? Phil Parker won the Broyles Award, best assistant in the country, and the transfer portal opened up a bunch of names that will be wearing new jerseys next year. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. Up Walk-Ons podcast. We're here for another episode.
Oh, what is this?
Oh, I thought, what is this?
I thought I had controls of the screen.
What's going on? Oh my God. Oh, Kevin, no. Do you see the breaking news?
Oh no.
Gary G-Bone Allen will forgo portal entry and stay with the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Hey.
We're gonna have to talk to the walk-on NIL department first, but
what?
No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, I see the breaking news right there. It's ticker on the bottom of the screen says it. It's facts. It's 100%.
Walk on collective. Got to get that.
The walk on collective, man. I really with the NIL stuff. I'd love to contribute to that through this. We just we're a little spread thin there. If we're gonna try and do, you know, make money for the children's hospital,
make money for the kids.
You know, take a little bit for me since I do this as a job. Embezzlement.
It's true.
Cover Kevin's share of taxes from one-third ownership. Cover Drake. Send Gary a checker now and again for tagging along. It's just a lot of people need a piece of pie, right?
It would be cool if there was a student podcaster's transfer portal, though. Like I got Eichold in my ear barking at me. We got Swarmcast is throwing out offers.
God.
I'm just kidding. No,
it sounds like tampering to me.
It is tampering.
We're gonna get them.
Yeah. Welcome into the show. Another episode. We're gonna talk a few things tonight. Maybe even get into a heated debate. I doubt it. I think we're probably all on the same side of the CFP stuff. But several different pieces of news. The first one, not really news. It was something that Grant and I were talking about right before we clicked record. And I figured, hey, maybe it's a good opening conversation. And that is, how'd you phrase it, Grant? Is the football Twitter recruiting, was that big when we were coming out of high school? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. Like I mean, it's transfer portal season. Got a lot of guys tweeting out their offers. Nothing wrong with it. It's just like, I don't see it much of other sports. And I didn't know if, like, when you guys were going through your recruiting in high school, if like guys were tweeting out back then their offers. Like, I don't think I was even on Twitter back
then. I saw Kevin tweeting out all his offers.
Yeah.
The guy was all over Twitter with all of his offers.
All my offers out there.
It was crazy. All,
it's like, it's hard to keep track of all them.
It was amazing. It was wild. That one offer you had?
Yeah, Cool. We'll get into it later.
Hey, Kev, do you ever actually, like, have you ever actually looked back and been like truly salty that like you weren't offered?
No.
I mean, me either.
Yeah.
Like, and I get that not everybody's experience goes as great as ours did, but like, I don't think. In 100 universes, in 100 different, you know, scenarios, I truly believe that I might have got the best possible one. My college experience and the way that my career went and the amount of games I was able to play at Iowa and the situation that I stepped, like, there's a couple others that maybe go as good. But I regret nothing, and I feel just ultimate gratitude to be able to actually have lived out the 4.5-5 years at Iowa that I did. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel very similar. I mean, would I would like to play more on regular downs for sure, but you know, from a walk on to playing 20 something snaps like a game on special teams, like in the Big Ten, go play some really fucking cool games like a Big Ten championship, a Rose Bowl. you know, be a part of a couple of like all time program wins. It's yeah, I don't regret my path at all.
No, I that's what I'm saying. We got very lucky. Speaking of playing in some big time Big Ten games, I am a little jealous of the boys. That, you know, the schedules have come out for next year, and the boys are going to be going to Washington, I believe, or is that a home game?
Washington's a home game.
Washington's a home game. Going to UCLA, I believe. Going to the Rose Bowl next year.
Yeah.
Hawks going to the Rose Bowl.
Hey, worst case scenario, Rose Bowl.
Worst case scenario.
That'll be cool. I mean, that'll be cool. It's not nearly going to be the Rose Bowl experience that we got on a, you know, in season. But
yeah, I don't think you get the I don't think you get to go to Lowry's Beef Bowl the Friday night before a game at UCLA. But that'd be cool if you did.
That's ass. They should do it.
Dude, I think about that meal every now and then. I was like, oh, that was some damn good prime rib.
You've had a good amount of high quality meals in your life. Is that like a top 10 meal?
The fact that it's all you can eat is pretty fucking cool. Like you don't go to high end restaurants and have an all you can eat option, right? That's so I think I downed 3 prime ribs that day. And then a couple helpings of cream corn. I forget what was the other size. Probably mashed potatoes.
It was taters. Taters. What do we get? What do we get for that?
Yeah, the ice cream? Out like local weatherman.
Oh my god, dude! Listening to Doyle and KF talk about that guy after the fact was hilarious.
Oh, good times, man!
For those that don't know, there was like an MC to our meal when we went. There was like a guy up on, I guess he was up on stage. Like there was like a little bit of a.
There was like a head table, almost like there's a head table like a. Like at a wedding, if you can imagine that. Yeah. And there's a little mic right there. And they talk about the game, talk about Iowa's path there. And this guy was on something.
He was on coke.
We figured it was coke, right? The guy was beet red, sweating, and
trying to be funny.
Oh, no.
And he was just a local weatherman, G-Bone.
Yeah, he was like a local weatherman.
He was doing his like 15-minute stand-up material, testing it out. It's like I got CDs in the back if anyone wants them too.
Yeah, he's botching like everybody's names, especially Coach Ferentz.
Ferentz.
I hear that a lot actually.
Called the guy Ferentz.
I hear Ferentz like.
No, the funniest part is like, all right, now you're head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Coach. Oh boy.
He did say that.
Ferentz. He says, oh boy, in between coach and Ferentz.
Like it was Talia Tagovailoa, right? Like, no, it's Kirk Ferentz, dude.
Like he's summoning the courage to try to pronounce this name.
Oh boy. He might have been saying oh boy because the letters on the page were unable to be like they were moving. He was trying to steady them.
Oh man.
Oh boy. No, but I think dude, like I'm jealous. They're gonna go play in Oregon Stadium. They're gonna go play in Washington Stadium. Two really good environments.
I'm still the one thing I am salty about from our playing days is that I never got a chance to play at Michigan or at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The only two Big Ten schools I never played at.
Yeah. So
two of the more iconic ones in the state. In the
I got really lucky and. They drug me along for the Ohio State trip our freshman year. One that I'll never forget. I remember a lot of details about that day, that trip. But during our 5 years, we only played Michigan twice, 13 and 15.
16.
No, 13 and 16. Both and they home. were both home. And so we did not get to go to the Big House. Otherwise, Kevin and I played in all other 12/13 Big Ten stadiums. And the Big House is the Big House, man. It seats 107 or whatever it sits. 108.
I think it's
110 and change.
Is it 110?
I thought it was like 112.
Jesus.
What
we were told was that the noise level, because it's such a wide bowl, isn't actually as cool as like Kinnick or Penn State.
Penn State's built up versus Michigan's like built out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also like into the ground. It's kind of like when you drive by it, it's like not as tall as you'd guess. It's like built down.
Sure. Yeah. But to answer your question, Grant, no, Twitter wasn't that big a thing. I remember like some guys would be tweeting out their offers, but Twitter was not used as a recruiting tool like it is today. Like there's kids whose Twitter profiles, it's literally like, it's like a recruiting page for them. Like they don't tweet anything out. They just,
it's just a way for them to
Exactly.
It's a way for them to contact coaches. I don't know if you ever get this, Kev. I will get recruits, like athletes, random athletes who follow me, and they will send me messages that say, like, I don't know what they're doing. They're clearly copy and pasting like a stock message, like, hey, look at my film, and then just changing the name, because it'll say something along the lines of, hey, Coach Kluver, I really want a chance at the Division I level, Coach, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, you saw that I'm a like an Iowa Hawkeye and I have like over 10,000 followers and you just assumed I was a coach? Or like, can we do a little bit more digging?
You should offer them.
I should start offering kids.
It's like, hey, I like what I see. You know, we'd like to have you part of our program.
Would you like to come to a visit this weekend?
Dude, I could ruin kids' lives. Not their lives, but I could ruin their weekend. I could be like, hey, bud, talk to Coach Ferentz. We're going to put you up in the XYZ hotel. Itinerary is going to be emailed to you. Just make something up. Send it to an email that they give me. They'll just arrive in Iowa City and like all of a sudden nobody will be there for them. And it'll just be like the most random thing.
Send them to the Poncheros on Riverside. And then it's like, oh, yeah. You know, we're going to meet somewhere else. Grab a burrito for me and then meet me at the stadium.
It's horrible. Some random guy in a hood walks up. Hey, you got the burritos? You know, one's a snack, two's a meal, right?
Big time, man.
You got to pump it up.
Don't you know?
It's like, dude, I came from fucking Arlington, Texas. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, no, I mean, Grant, to answer your question, like, I know you were like 4 years old at the time, but in 2012, like Twitter was certainly big. I think Twitter was like super kind of at its peak in 09, kind of 10. But like social media as a whole, Instagram had like just barely been a thing, if at all.
Instagram like didn't even get started till like our senior year of high school.
2012.
Yeah.
So TikTok certainly wasn't.
I had an Instagram in 2012.
You as a 10-year-old had an Instagram.
In fifth grade, I had Instagram for sure.
Holy shit.
Yeah. What I do remember about Twitter back then is there were more people who tweeted. Like,
yeah.
Like average everybody like tweets. Yes. Like these days, I feel like Twitter is just for like big accounts and there's just a ton of people reading and there's not a whole lot of people tweeting.
Definitely. Spot on. Twitter used to be Facebook. Twitter used to be like a place where your Facebook status was more readily like you would just pump more of those out or thoughts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an every person thing. Now it's like Kevin said, you have a Twitter. Everyone has one. But it's so that you can consume and give your thoughts and comments on more popular people's opinions or their stories or their articles. There's a severe, severe decrease in original thoughts and tweets, and more so like everyone just follows popular people and then, you know,
retweets, responds to those tweets,
creates their own toxicity off of that original content. But there were some people. I mean, I would say the
Grant,
best.
Did you have a MySpace page?
No, I never had MySpace.
Oh,
you would have been about six when MySpace came around.
No, I remember getting it. I was like, what is Instagram or whatever? And I got it on like my iPod in fifth grade. I just like posted like I would post like six memes a day. About like
a meme guy at 10 years old.
Oh, I was posting memes nonstop.
Dude, you were born for this industry. Kev, did you ever have a Bebo?
No. What the fuck's a Bebo?
It was kind of like a MySpace. It was like a music MySpace kind of thing, from what I remember.
I remember when Snapchat came out. That was our senior year of high school as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're old.
We're old, yeah.
I mean, I feel young. I mean, but we're old. So anyway, but mention of the portal. I mean, that's kind of what sparked that conversation. There's a lot of guys who are just like, hey, recruit me. Like, here I am. Here's a place to find me. Here's a place you can DM me. And, of course, the portal opened up this past week. And Iowa, similar to every other team in the country, has its fair share of guys entering the portal. This is the new day and age. Grant, if you want to pull that up, I think there's been three big ones for the Hawks so far. For those that are kind of in the know, pay attention. Ontario Thompson, a guy who blocked a couple punts this year, D lineman. He put his name in the portal. I believe he has 2 years left. Yeah, 2 years of eligibility left. And he puts up, you know, kind of the stock post of first and foremost, I want to thank the Iowa coaching staff. It's been great to be here, be a part of this program. With that being said, after talk with my family, I'm going to go into the portal. And he's got a fair amount of offers. I mean, and this is a conversation where he put the, what was the date on this? What was the timestamp here? This was
11.
So this was 2 days ago at 11 a.m. And now if you scroll up, Grant, can we see all the offers?
Indiana.
So Indiana, Oregon State, UNI, Charlotte, he could be a 49er. Liberty. Hey, Liberty. Memphis, Western Kentucky.
Oh, a lot of, like, I do want to point out, shout out everyone who's giving Big Red some love. I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Great mascot.
Just they do have a good mascot.
Shout out those guys.
So, you know, what's the likelihood that all of these schools had the time to actually see him post that tweet at 11 on Tuesday, reach out to him, decide if they have scholarships available, decide that Ontario is the guy that they want, and then also offer him within a 2 day span? It's probably unlikely. And I saw a tweet from somebody, I think it was a coach. It was a coach this week that said something along the lines of, everyone needs to understand that when kids enter the portal, most of them know where they're going already.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not legal technically, but it is what it is, right? There's a lot of ways to get around that, especially in today's age. You know, you've got a Connor Stallions out there who's like shows up at the Poncheros down the street. Terrio Thompson happens to walk in for a burrito, and Stallions, the Connor Stallions of Charlotte, or I mean, I don't know if they're sending people for him, but you know, it could be that simple. It's like, hey, didn't get a lot of playing time this year. You potentially going to be transferring? I know a few people over at Western Kentucky, Big Reds, looking for a defensive lineman. Just here, take this number. And
I mean, he would crush that.
A lot of schools on that list. He's shown some decent reps at Iowa. I mean,
I think he could play pretty much anywhere he goes.
Absolutely.
He's very good.
Other names in the portal for the Hawks, probably the most notable. Two from the offensive side, Joey Labus here on the YouTube. If you're watching the visual version, we encourage you, by the way, to go to the YouTube. If you don't have a YouTube, make one. Quest for 3,000 subscribers. This one was probably expected. You know, Deacon Hill surpassed Labus. Labus obviously played in that 2022 bowl game against Kentucky. But Hill passed him up. This year, Marco Linez is on the roster. We have Cade coming back healthy next year. So, you know, guy wants to go play, wants a shot. And quarterbacks are obviously probably the biggest pull in the portal. Have you seen the names that are in the portal, dude?
Some massive names out there.
What keeps a guy home these days?
I think they said like $2 million. Is what they said a quarterback costs. So
probably depends on the quarterback. I think, yeah, you know, Dylan Gabriel is going to cost more than Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
I would agree. What's that guy from Oregon State's Ugalele?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Ugalele.
Yeah.
And maybe he's trying to come to Michigan State. I know that's where
I think Nebraska's going after him pretty hard. It sounds like.
Are they? I heard they were going after McCord as well.
They need to go after somebody.
Yeah, because they lost Jeff Sims in the portal.
And did they lose him or?
I'm sad, man.
Did they just leave him behind?
I was hoping Sims would stay home, man.
Guy's a turnover machine.
I wish he would play.
But I would love to get like Tyler Barnes on the podcast at some point and just kind of talk about it. Like, hey, like Portal Day hits. Is it like an NFL draft room as soon as like the draft is over and free
agents all over the place?
Exactly. Like, hey, you have like 5 minutes to get in with a guy and like get an offer in, basically. Or I'm legitimately curious. Like, how the hell do you manage all this?
Right. Well, Kev, because spring semester starts in 6 weeks. Like
something like that.
Ideally, you want to be at a place as early as possible. You want to do spring ball with them, especially if you're trying to get playing time. So you need to know where you're going so that you can start the enrollment process. There's a chance that these guys are applying to multiple schools that have that they've been talking to on the DL, so that's ready to go if it goes through on the athletic side of things. I mean, it's a hairy process.
Yeah, it's they've completely fucked over the sport, entire sport.
Is there a fix? Because I agree that you should be able to transfer. I don't know.
They have to come in with some harsher tampering rules. Probably be a little bit more clear on certain timelines and stuff. I would definitely be in favor of after your. If you transfer once, sure, no penalty. You transfer a second time, you got to sit out a year. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. They've completely bastardized the sport of college football. It's unrecognizable from what it was 5 years ago.
It's weird. It's weird for sure. Deonte Vines, also in the portal. Tweet, thank you, Iowa Nation. It was a blessing to be able to wear that black and gold for so many years. Forever Hawk and forever thankful for my journey at Iowa. A guy who, man, I think last year I said it was going to be his breakout year. And to be honest, it could have been. This offense, just, we know the struggles that they've been through, the obstacles that they've had to overcome. It just never got, especially for a receiver, just never got any traction here. And Deontay's a talent who, again, you name any of those schools that Terrio had his offers, I'm sure Deonte will have a lot of those schools or similar types of schools offering him. He's a guy who could go get, you know, hundreds of yards at another school, dozens of catches in a single year. He's got the talent to do it. At Iowa, even if the offense is clicking, there's not a lot of room for three or four receivers to get, you know, there's only so much to eat.
Especially when you drop the ones thrown to you.
That one, that hurts too, right? That hurts too. And towards the end of the season here, Caleb Brown has clearly ascended as the best athlete on our offense.
Best wide receiver, for
sure. Best wide receiver, for sure. Caleb Johnson's pretty damn good athlete. So is LaShawn Williams. So is Jazz. And I heard there's rumblings of Jazz entering the portal as well, which would be unfortunate. But again, only so many people can eat. And, you know, we wish those guys the best. There's been a couple other guys who went into the portal with some axes to grind. And we won't get into that from previous years, not from this year. What do you got pulled up there, Grant? Is that the top 10 QBs?
Oh, yeah. This is just like, it's like their guesses where guys are going. Oh. I don't agree with a lot of these.
Some projections, huh?
Yeah. And I don't know anything about recruiting, but some of them I don't think are.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Duke, Oklahoma, K-State, Washington State, Oregon State, Ohio State, Mississippi State, Miami, and Coastal Carolina, all with a guy heading to the portal.
I mean, a lot of this makes sense. That, like, Will Rogers to Washington makes a lot of sense. Dylan Gabriel, though. Oregon, I mean, I guess you're not going to go down from Oklahoma, right? So Oregon's step above.
These are like the top 10 guys too. There's guys in the portal like Blake Shapen from Baylor, who's a decent little talent.
Is Jordan Travis done? Why would DJ Ugalele go to Florida State?
He said he's going to the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good for
him. Can you say his last name again, Kev?
Not even fucking close.
Uyungale.
There's an N in there somewhere?
Maybe.
There is not.
I don't see one. He pronounced it.
See, this is a name that would be appropriate to go. Oh boy. Oh boy.
DJ ukulele. Man, it's crazy. I mean, you got to have insane amounts of money. I think Matt Rhule said a couple weeks ago, you know, a good quarterback is going to cost you $1 to $2 million. Like a good quarterback.
Yeah. So do you think like these big time schools that are going to have like the largest like booster funds, like do they even waste time like trying to develop quarterbacks, or do they just try and hit the portal for like the best guy every year?
It's an interesting question.
I mean, you're sure you're always going to try to recruit the best guy you can get. And if you keep them, sure. It's right. It's not like, I mean, it's not the booster's job to coach the players, right? So it's not like they're dividing their attention, right? It's like coaches are going to try to develop the players they have, and whatever happens on the outside, they're going to try to bring the best players they can in.
I think it's a weird situation, Kev. What do you think about resources and staffing as far as this goes? Because it's hard enough to have a recruiting staff and people dedicated to searching the nation for high school talent. Now you almost have to have two or three guys who watch all the other college games each weekend and go and look at their stats and decide, man, this is a guy that could fit with us. Here's his background. Here was his high school recruiting story.
I mean, especially if you're one of those big name programs that is shelling out a lot of money to poach players, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just a bunch of programs are just going to try to see what is in the portal and, you know, search from there. But the guys that are actually actively poaching players, it'd probably be like almost the NFL, right? The NFL has college scouts, and the NFL has NFL scouts because they want to sign guys from other NFL.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, man, it's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, I would not be surprised. I could see this going right now. I'll make a little bit of a prediction, and I'm not usually good at this kind of stuff because I'm not that deep into it. But I would not be surprised at all if in the next 5 years, you know, they added that 10th coach a couple years back. Have you remember that? That's when LeVar got to go full time special teams. I wouldn't be surprised if. Well, I guess there aren't probably limits on staff, are there? Or is there?
I'm not 100% sure what the rules are on staffing, but yes, they're the coaching, like on-field coaches, there is a limit.
Right. They might not be calling for more positions, but I would bet you start to see some new positions inside of college programs open up as like, and it might just be under the umbrella of recruiting, but I bet more people are being hired under recruiting over the next 5 years, a lot.
I'm just really curious to see like if NIL keeps up the level of funding that it's getting. Like, I'm curious what it is across the country, but it's got to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And these are essentially donations, right?
Are you saying yearly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Texas A&M, that check that they presented at the game where they fired their coach with the money that they presented during the game, that was like a $170 million check just from Texas A&M alone.
Yeah.
So it's
to the NIL fund?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
No, there's some pockets at A&M.
And sure, Texas A&M is probably a top three, maybe a top five, certainly a top five place.
If that's not top two, not two, then I'm fucking bewildered.
Well, Oregon's got...
For booster money, it's A&M's definitely up there, for sure.
Yeah, Oregon's got money.
But, okay, outside like five fucking programs, like, I'm just curious, like, are there the boosters that are going to just continually shell out $1 million a year to pay football players?
I think there
are. They don't have to pay.
I think at the $1 million level, maybe even the $5 million level, there are some boosters and big dudes at bigger schools that will consistently shell that out. Yeah. I think
I'm sure there are, but like, oh man, that's just,
but I get what you're saying, Kev, the school that you know, Kevin Ward, you're the owner of Stryker in 25 years and you make $1 billion a year. And even at $1 billion a year, as Kevin Ward, the owner of Stryker, you're giving 10 or 20 million away to the Iowa Hawkeyes because you love the football program. If the Iowa Hawkeyes aren't getting better, you start to direct your funds in other places at some point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you have like unlimited money, you literally don't know what to do with it, I guess. Yeah. And winning college football games for your favorite team makes you happy. Sure, go ahead. Buy your
This would be Grant. If Grant had $300 billion, all he would be doing is just feeding it into sports. Yeah.
No, if I like that's where like if I was ever like these were like super rich guys, like I don't know, like Bezos, I would own 10 NFL teams.
One third of the team.
I would just own the AFC. I would own all of them.
We're gonna trade Mahomes to Denver, and then we're also gonna trade. You're just unilaterally deciding like all the AFC teams are gonna trade your best players away to Denver.
Yeah, no, I would like if I had the money to do it, I would own a.
Oh, dude, the Chiefs are always
just. It would be my little project for life is like working on like the Denver Nuggets or something.
The KC Chiefs are only worth $4.3 billion. I mean, Bezos could do that easy.
You ever see like Cuban just is trying to sell the Mavericks. Like he bought it for like $250.
Yeah,
not that long ago. It's like
I didn't see he was trying to sell it.
Yeah, he wants like $3.5 billion, which is probably a fair price, right? Like he bought it not crazy long ago for $250 million. Like it's so expensive now to own a team.
That's called the rich get richer, Grant.
Yeah. Well, I think a part of it is obviously they make a lot of money with TV deals, ticket sales, all that fucking merchandise and stuff. Yeah. But part of it is like, hey, there's only like,
what is that? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was the most expensive like NFL team when it sold.
Broncos only 5.1 grand.
The thing is, like, there's only 100 like professional franchises to own. Right? It's like part of like, hey, I own one of those. You know? That's like, I want to be part of the club. It's a status thing.
It's a status symbol for like, sure.
On paper is like as far as like actual financial decisions, cash flow operations, are the Broncos worth $5 billion? I don't know. I can't see their books, but I doubt it.
Probably
Whoa.
Not.
Whoa.
They're priceless, Kevin. In Gary's heart.
They're worth 10, if anything.
I would be shocked if the Broncos bring in $500 million a year, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I did find, though, the biggest NIL collectives or, like, schools.
Yeah.
It's definitely – it's billions for sure because
Oregon
is number one at $969 million. Like it's crazy expensive.
They have $1 billion in NIL money.
How are they not getting everybody?
I think they spend most of that on like cool t-shirts, but it could be
different uniforms.
Yeah. Well, it says in 2016, Phil Knight apparently donated like a crazy amount of money. And then
that's the athletic department. That's different.
Yeah. It's split.
You can't commingle those funds.
Which did you see the NCAA, the guy from the NCAA propose some new system of like the universities paying the athletes?
I think he was trying to completely separate football, wasn't it?
Something, I don't know.
Which wouldn't be the worst idea ever. Then Rick Pitino was getting kind of mad about it.
It's a crazy world. We'll shift gears here. The Broyles Award. I said cancel that mother trucker if it doesn't go to the one and only Phil Parker. Well, guess what? Phil Parker brings home the trophy, baby. Come on now. Let's go, Phil. Come on, Phil. You know, about 10 years too late, but he deserves it.
Well done. Well deserved. Very happy for the man. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that loves the sport of football the way that this guy does and has a passion for teaching it at such a high level. Fucking proud of the guy. Happy for him. Proud to have played for the guy.
You want to scroll on this or go back and then look at the other posts that Broyles have put out? I mean, this guy was at the goddamn White House.
So I don't think this is the actual White House.
Are you sure?
It says the Clinton Presidential Center. I'm guessing
that would make sense. Yeah. Okay. That answers our question.
So is that like
also that's not the Washington DC through the windows back there. So
yeah, you're right. He's at like the Arkansas State Capitol or something.
That would also make sense because of the state flag right there.
Right. Yeah.
But still very cool. Very cool. I would love to see Phil in public office.
He's got a smile on his face in that picture.
How about that?
Guy doesn't smile often.
It would be cool if like the Broyles Award winner just automatically becomes vice president for the year.
Dude, I tweeted, can we actually get Phil for president? And that's not a joke. If Phil, for some reason, if someone came to Phil, the United States government came to Phil and they're like, Phil Parker, defensive coordinator of the Iowa Hawkeye football team, don't ask why, but you have to take over as commander in chief for the next 365 days. Do you know how much better our country would be? I'm not joking. Our country would be awesome, dude.
Phil would be a goat president.
He would be insane. It's pretty awesome to see him get recognized. Fam sitting there in the Oval Office of the Clinton Presidential Center with him. And I saw it happen. It was like a midday ceremony, banquet thing. It happened yesterday. And I was working out. And in the middle of my workout, it came across the feed. And I was like, holy shit. They actually gave it to the man. I thought for sure they were going to give it to the cheater. And they gave it to Phil Parker. I'm so happy, man. It's awesome to see.
Yep, absolutely.
Three defenses in a row now for Phil Parker that have been, you know, you mentioned it, Kev. It'd be hard to find another three defenses in a row that have been as good, as productive for the Hawks. Unbelievable. I mean, truly a national championship level defense. We saw that it was Big Ten level. Michigan's number one in the country. They got a shot to go win the national championship, and we held them to their lowest total in the Harbaugh era. I mean,
pretty good.
Just crazy stuff. And on a year where we thought, oh my, they might take even the first couple games, we're like, some things we got to clean up here. Clean them up.
Yeah, clean them up. Guys played real hard. It's funny, hard. You know, we gave up 200 and something yards of offense, but I didn't see anyone out there chirping the Michigan offense for being terrible.
Interesting.
Iowa Hawkeyes averaged 240 this year. Come on.
Yeah. What the fuck? Fun stuff. What else we got on the docket here? What else is fun this week, Grant? What did we talk about? Oh, let's go.
You want to go top 25?
Yeah, let's go top 25 and let's have this discussion quick. Kev, we're going to finish with the Army-Navy game, so get tented for that.
I'm always tented for that.
This is your top
graphic.
You said bring up the college football playoff top 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I thought we were bringing up Grant's. I thought, like, damn, Grant, your graphic got way better.
No, well
what's wrong with my graphic? Well,
try my best.
Well, and there's discrepancy. There's been appeals. There's been some submissions for Grant's opinion and his poll each week to have and carry a little bit more weight for 2024 season. We'll update you on that as the CFP gets back to us. That is expected to go through, by the way. Grant is expected to have a lot of power next year. But for now, these are the rankings that matter, decided upon by a bunch of old guys in a resort somewhere. In wheelchairs. And what do we think? No problems here, right?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone was
wrong.
Wrong. Totally accordingly to this.
So before we get into this discussion, I think it's good to establish a ground rule or a sort of a ground basis. And that is, what are the four teams? What's the criteria for that, right? Because if it's the best, most deserving four teams, and it clearly isn't because FSU is number five on the outside looking in here, then they didn't use that as a criteria. That's clearly not their criteria. And I think people are confused about that. If you actually go into the CFP criteria, they actually do say they have written down that unavailable players matter. So that factors into this Jordan Travis thing.
Okay,
I didn't know that was actually written in. I think that's absurd. I believe that you should take your four most deserving, and the criteria that determine the most deserving are win-loss record, conference finish, those two above everything. And there's a caveat there. You need to be in a Power Five. You can't be Liberty, unfortunately, right now.
Next year, Liberty.
Where's Liberty going?
Only up.
But not into a Power 5 conference.
No, but like, I mean.
Only up.
They could Cincinnati it and like go, I don't know, if they went out next year, they might have a shot.
It does not mean that a group of five team can't get in. We've seen that with Cincinnati. However, you need to be undefeated as a group of five, and then also have only three deserving teams above you. Like, so you got to be a Power 5 here. Okay, so Michigan, Big Ten champion, undefeated, number one, great. Washington, Pac-12 champion, RIP to the Pac-12, undefeated, convincing win over a 9.5-point dog line in the championship game against Oregon. Everyone thought they were going to get beat. Undefeated, conference champ, Power 5, you're in. To me, you look right to the anybody else in the room, a Power 5 undefeated champion? Anybody? Anybody? And then Florida State raises their hand and says, hey, we are. Okay. Seminoles, you're in. If I was determining this, that is how it would go. I don't care who is playing for your team when it comes time to play this game. Do I recognize that the two games we have in the playoff this year are going to provide most likely better entertainment, better football games than if the Seminoles got in? Yeah, probably. But that's not what it should be about. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% with you. If you're not doing resume based, then you're going into the subjective versus the objective, and
the games don't matter.
It makes no sense to do that when you have data in front of you, right?
There's no, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else you wanted LSU to do. The fact that you factor in injuries is fucking mind blowing, because the team won the goddamn game. The team still has the same resume as if he were available or not. Their defense is fucking elite, by the way.
Yeah, great defense.
Really good.
And they, again, they're not only a Power 5 undefeated conference champion, is that two of their four non-conference games were SEC road games.
And they beat them both.
They beat the piss out of LSU.
Yeah.
What else did you want them to do?
And when you get into that.
Because by leaving them out, you basically said, it doesn't matter what you did all year, you were never getting in, which is just fucking wrong. Like, it's not their fault that the rest of the ACC, which schedule they have zero control over, wasn't as strong as it typically is. So it's not their fault that Clemson fell off and that win's not as important anymore. All they did was take care of business every single week and end up with more points than the other team. And again, that number 13 team on this committee's rankings, LSU, beat the dog shit out of them. Beat them worse than Alabama beat them, by the way.
Oh, and by the way, Alabama, who everybody's so high on because they just topped off Georgia in the SEC championship. If you go look at Alabama's games this year, like, you want to play eye test, you want to play like results driven, they had to have a 4th-and-31 miracle, the Milroe miracle, to beat Auburn, who I think was like a 500 ball club this year.
They're 7-5.
Okay. Yeah. 7-5. And the week before that Auburn team played Alabama, they got stomped by New Mexico State at home.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not even talking about that Alabama game versus USF earlier this year. It was 3-3 at halftime.
It was a ball game, and they won like 17-3.
Yeah. Now, granted, I do think Alabama's much better now than they were then. I agree. But it's still like, if we're doing like resume stuff,
Alabama got a lot better throughout the year. I'm not taking anything away from Alabama, but
it's blatant that the SEC.
The eye test is subjective, and it's can be prone to just being flat out wrong, right? And if you ask me, I don't think there's any question in my mind that Florida State has the better resume and therefore deserves to be in over Alabama.
Now, here's
what I think, okay, is that if it was a 12-team playoff this year,
mm-hmm,
the first four teams get byes,
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they give Florida State the four spot.
Guaranteed.
Because the SEC doesn't get left out then. You still get Bama, Georgia, Missouri, Ole Miss.
They don't get left out, and they get those two SEC teams to play an extra game.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's about money. I also think
I guarantee you, like, if there was a 12-team playoff this year, Florida State's the number 14.
So this is your rankings if it's a 12-team playoff. Also, Kev, I think that was an out for the committee. It's like, well, it's the last year of four teams. So, yeah, we're setting a precedent that you don't – that, like, an undefeated Power 5 can't get in. But it's also going to 12 next year, so it's never going to happen again. We won't have to deal with it. Chicken shit.
Yeah, the only reason that undefeated Power 5 should have never gotten in is if there was five undefeated Power 5s.
And you want to know something, Kev? So let's play a fun hypothetical just real quick, and then, Grant, you can say what you were going to say. Let's say that they don't call Coop's punt return back, and that gets us to 11 wins. Mm. And then let's play the game that, you know, somehow we pulled that game out in Happy Valley, and we were 12-0 going into Michigan in the Big Ten Championship. This is a lot of what ifs and stuff. I get it. But I think it's a valid little storyline. Let's say that all that happens in the Big Ten Championship game where we're like, hey, we need everything to fall our way. We got to keep it close till halftime. Let's make it a game. Oh my God, Iowa wins. They're 13-0 Big Ten champions.
13-0, like winning the way that we won this year. Like, say we beat Penn State.
Everything else is the
rest. 13-12 or something like that.
Yeah, we beat Nebraska on a last second field goal. We beat Illinois.
Everything just looks ugly, but we're 13-0.
I don't think Iowa gets in.
I don't think so either. I think Iowa is the one left out. FSU gets in. Given what this fucking committee did.
I think it's...
Would we be deserving? Absolutely, because we'd have a win over Penn State and a win over Michigan, but that fucking eye test that... Hey, it doesn't look good. Well, fuck you, it doesn't look good. It fucking works, you know?
There's no other sport where you do everything that you're asked to do and more. Because they could have just scheduled a fluffy non-con, but they didn't. And then you go and you execute on those. And you don't even get a chance to go win the championship of your sport. If you go to the Olympics and everybody knows that in the Olympic weightlifting, there's one guy who's snatching clean and jerks more than everybody. He's the strongest guy. He's the strongest guy. You can even go in a lab and measure his muscle recruitment and see his muscles recruit more force than any other guy that he's going to compete against. They still run him out there on the platform and make him lift those bars. Because if he doesn't perform on game day, he doesn't win the gold medal.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, I understand that there's 130 teams and we have to whittle it down to four, and they obviously don't all play.
That's part of the problem in the first place.
That's part of the problem. I understand that. But when you have objective data in front of you, like, how do you not prioritize it? Not like, oh, Alabama should, like, is probably better. They'd probably win in a head-to-head matchup versus Florida State. Vegas seems to have them, either their odds better than Florida State. The fucking Football Power Index AI computer or whatever says that Alabama's a better team, so we should probably go with them. Well, Alabama didn't win all their fucking games. Florida State did.
Yeah. If we're just going to go with the four best teams, you know, the four teams we think are the best, then Georgia needs to be in there too.
Yeah.
Probably.
Georgia's probably better.
Which means Washington probably gets kicked out. Or Texas, who beat Alabama.
Yep. But I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. What do I know?
I don't know anything either.
I do know this. If if it was the Iowa Hawkeyes getting left out in that scenario.
Oh, God.
And there's a Drake Kulik on that team. He's writing down names of the committees and their fucking addresses.
Yeah. Yeah, Drake goes to jail. He doesn't go to the CFP. He goes to jail.
I mean, I can't even imagine how it feels to be a player on that Florida State team.
Oh, my God.
Especially, like, you're watching it happen live, like they're announcing it. And you see, like, yeah, you're thinking, there's no way they're going to fuck us
over. It's like, man. Yeah, we're going to be in. We're going to be in.
We're only one of three undefeated teams. Like, we're in. We got to be. Oh, they put Texas at three. Oh,
fuck.
That could be a problem. They actually fucking did it. They actually fucking did it.
And dude, Kevin, you would have been so pissed.
Irate. But
wow.
Yeah, I feel bad for those guys. They should absolutely, if they beat Georgia, hang a national championship banner.
100%. They should. And then those two show up to the to their bowl press conference, like Zoom, and both Norvell and Kirby are both like this. Just fucking pissed. Florida State, Georgia probably wouldn't have cared. They don't give a shit about winning that game with the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, I'm again.
Norvell and the Noles, they should have boycotted. They should have said, okay, you don't put us in, we're not playing in this bowl game then.
No, I legitimately think it's like you can get your guys fired up for this game. It's like, hey, we're gonna finish this year undefeated and we're gonna hang a national championship.
Yeah.
They can't stop us from hanging shit in our own building.
Nope.
I would support it.
I would too.
Like I would, as a player, like I'd be extremely pissed off, livid, irate that we didn't actually get in the tournament. But I could get up for that. I don't care if, like, you know, you got NFL ambitions. Like, I could get up for that fucking game.
Could you get up for this game?
See, like, you know, bowl opt-outs started back when we were playing, like, 2015-ish, 2016.
Yeah.
Obviously, more so these days, you know, not only got a bunch of people opting out, you got NAL guys going to the transfer portal. It will be interesting to see, like, is that actually the Georgia team from the regular season that plays that game, or
yeah,
and same with Florida State, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know there's one game you could get up for. It's the 5-6 Army Black Knights versus the 5-6 Navy Midshipmen, baby.
America's game right there. Why did they both only play 11 games?
This is their 12th game.
Well, I am stupid. I'm thinking this is like already a bowl game. I'm fucked up.
No, yeah. It feels like the first bowl game, but it's really just the extended week 13, week 12.
Playing for a bowl game.
They are playing for bowl eligibility.
So, like, what are they?
Is there an empty bowl spot that one of them's playing for?
I think they're going to the – I think the winner goes to the Armed Forces Bowl. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And who do they play?
Let me figure it out. Oh, no, wait. It's not the Armed Forces Bowl. My apologies. Because I think Air Force is in that one. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Give me a moment.
Go Army, beat Navy?
Is that what you're feeling?
I don't know. What's the line on this? We should pull it up. I mean,
It's three. Army minus three.
Army minus three. I know nothing about either team. I'll be real honest.
So
Navy has a little QB issue going on, but backup QB used to be a dog lacrosse player.
So our Army upset Air Force this year.
Okay.
Navy lost to Air Force.
Okay.
Air Force is the reigning Commanders in Chief trophy. So if Navy beats Army, it goes to the tie, like it stays where it's at. So as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, I had one Division I offer to play football. That was from the Air Force Falcons. God bless. So I'm going to be cheering for Navy so that Air Force can keep the Commanders in Chief trophy. So go Navy, beat Army.
Wow. Okay.
Plus their uniforms are
sick. They're so sick, dude.
The Navy service.
Oh my God. Navy's uniforms are like, those are top three when they bust those out for this game. And all of the servicemen and women that come to the game and deck the stands out. This is a game that is like bucket list.
Oh, absolutely. My parents went like in 2019, I think. And they said it was awesome.
Oh,
like awesome. Like, definitely a bucket list item for any football fan out there.
I would love to see it.
I think it's in, where is it at this year? Is it in Philly?
It's in Massachusetts. Again? It's in Foxborough.
Oh, in Boston. Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take Navy plus three for doing the bets this week.
What's the over under?
27-5.
Oh my God. That's second to Iowa and Nebraska.
By a distant second, but
3 points.
Which is that's a lot.
I'll take the give me the under, man.
Very creative.
The under is extremely profitable in this game.
It is.
It rarely goes over.
It's the service academies in Iowa. If you just bet the under, it is and you bet the same units every single time, it's a profitable venture.
I bet Air Force has been putting up some good points the last few.
This year they have for sure. Yeah.
It's only when like service academies play each other. It's not just single game.
Yeah, especially yeah.
The understat is 100% just service academies playing each other.
You don't think their defenses, they usually run out some pretty decent defenses, though.
You think the Army's defense was in the under against LSU?
Well, no, not against the fucking Heisman. the Heisman front runner Grant, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I would love to go back. It would be interesting to go back and look at the non-service academy against service academy games this year on Navy and Army schedule and see against the over under how many it hit under. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's an even split. Maybe it goes over more often. But
I'm just saying, like, the stat you always see is just for service academies.
Play. No, I know. And it's like 26 out of 28. They've gone under. It's like some insane stat.
Yeah, I think teams average like 8 or 9 possessions in this game.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
Like you're basically going to get the ball twice a quarter is pretty much the average.
And the only thing that would make this game better is if it was snowing.
It'll be cold. It snows somewhat often in this game.
Yeah, I know. I want to see it bad.
You know, I'll take the under. Give me Navy in the under.
Are there any other football games this weekend? Is this the only one?
Well, I mean, there's the NFL. But.
Okay, so we don't have a. Unless you want to make NFL picks or we want
to. Pick the line, pick the number. Over, under, Navy or Army. Let's go.
Shit. I think I'm with you, actually. I like Army more. I don't know why. But I'm going to take Navy +3 and I'm going to go under 27-5.
Wow.
G-Bone?
Well, then we're all going to lose if we go.
That's okay.
Across the
sink or swim, baby.
Navy swims, baby.
Well, that is true. I don't know, I'm going to go Army. I got friends who go to Army. I'll back them.
Okay.
Army's probably, and I, like I mentioned, I think Navy has a little QB issue.
Going over on. Under?
Oh, I think, yeah. Oh, well, we can go unanimous under on this one.
Okay.
We can go unanimous under.
Love that.
Yeah. It'll be fun, though. I love, too, in this game, like, there's, like, 4 passes, so you get, like, super fired up whenever they drop back in the pocket.
Oh!
It's like, what's going to happen? Oh, it's incomplete.
Shout out to everyone who tuned into the show today. You have one college football game to watch. Tune in and just, like, breathe and live in that service, in that Navy versus Army glory. We will we'll talk to you next week. I don't know what we'll talk to you about. We have to figure that out.
Football.
We'll talk about football. See you then. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.